Without further ado, I'd love to introduce our guest speaker today. I have to tell you, when I asked Amy for her bio, when I got it back and it's just this little chunk, I'm like, oh, Amy, you're humble, just like the rest of us are. She has just been a change maker in Utah politics, in my opinion, and has been involved for many years in many different capacities. And I just want to thank her for that. But I will tell you that Amy Winder Newton is a former 2020 candidate for Utah governor, and she currently serves on the Salt Lake County Council. She was the first woman elected as the chair of the council. I love that. Even glass ceiling in Utah or in Salt Lake County in our state. I love these firsts of women. Since her election in 2014, Amy has focused on intergenerational poverty, criminal justice, mental health, and budget accountability. Amy is a small business owner and mom to four young adults. Can't imagine anything more challenging than maybe four little toddlers. She and her husband, Matt, have been married for 28 years and just got their first pet. I'm jealous, a mini golden doodle puppy. Amy loves to play the piano, travel with her family, and help women get involved in government, which is why many of us are here. So I'm just excited. I've heard Amy speak before, and so I feel lucky to be able to host her today. And Amy, I'll turn the time over to you.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. You're also one of those women I look up to, and I appreciate all you've contributed to the community. And I'm so excited to be with all of you today. So I'm going to do first what I'm going to do is start, and I'm going to share a PowerPoint that shows and walks you through what my first campaign was like. And we're going to just kind of, I'm going to give you some information there. And then I'm going to conclude with some tips, like the first seven things you need to do when you run for office, and then the next seven things, and kind of just give you some tips along the campaign line. So anyway, I kind of feel like it's helpful to see a campaign and what happens. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that first, and then we'll kind of go through more specifics. So I'm going to share my screen. While I'm doing that, if you are, or if you're thinking about running for something, it would be really helpful for me if you can put in the chat the office that you're considering, because as you know, campaigns, you have to, so when I ran for governor, it was a very different campaign than when I ran for county council. I've also managed numerous city races and legislative races and other types of races. And so just the type of race matters, and it helps me to kind of know which races you guys are looking at so that I can tailor my message to that. So, and Marcy, I know you're running for mayor of Sandy. Congratulations. So, anyway, and great. This is awesome. We have some people who are current candidates. Aileen, that's great. So, okay. So let me share my screen here. Can you guys see that okay? Okay, perfect. All right. So the first thing I want to kind of share with you is my experiences. When I very first ran for county council, it was a special election. And so I had to quickly put together collateral material and everything. I had 120 delegates I had to convince to vote for me in this special election. And it was in January. And my goal was to win big, because I knew 2 months later I was going to have to file to run for my own four-year term. And so I didn't want any Republican challengers. I wanted to make sure I could clear the field early in this special election. It is a partisan. My position is a partisan position. So you run as a Democrat or Republican or independent or whatever you decide to run as. And so that was my goal as I started this journey. I ended up winning at the special election. I was in a four-way race. There were three men that were running with me. And I won in the first round with 78% of the vote. So I knew that my hard work had paid off. I had called all the delegates. I had done everything I needed to, but this was my booth in that election. And I was then sworn in as a member of the Salt Lake County Council. And this was our council. So there were nine men before I came on. And so I was the only woman, and I served as the only woman for that first year. And I could give a whole speech about that experience, but that's not what we're here for today. So this was my Democrat challenger. So I ended up not having any Republicans jump in the race, which was awesome. So I didn't have to worry about a primary or anything like that. But this was my Democrat challenger. This is Dan Snar. He was the former Murray mayor for like 15 years. So everybody in Murray knew him. I have about 2/3 of Murray in my district. I have all of Taylorsville. about a third of West Jordan and a third of West Valley. And so I knew he would be a strong opponent. The first thing that I did is I started gathering volunteers. And so at the Republican County Convention, even though I didn't have to run a race there at the county convention, I still use that as an opportunity to gather volunteers. So this was our booth. We had a big map. We let volunteers come and they could put a pin in where they lived. And we had a cowbell. We let them ring until the people in the other booths around us got so annoyed that I was like, I had one lady say, if you ring that cowbell again, I will not vote for you. So I had to nix the cowbell. But anyway, we had t-shirts and we had treats and we kind of gave them a little info packet. But that was our main goal because we weren't trying to woo the delegates at that point. We were just trying to get our campaign infrastructure built. And it's pretty sad that the only picture that I had of this is me with my eyes closed, but it is what it is. We participated in some different parades and things that summer. And so we did the Murray Parade, we did the Taylorsville Parade. We got volunteers for that, handed out taffy. I got little chapsticks with my logo on it that we used. I still have some and they're like, the oil has gone rancid on them. So if anybody wants any rancid chapstick, I have like 30, I'm happy to give you. Anyway, so we had a lot of fun doing that. And, you know, this is where your volunteers come in, right? Is these, the people in this picture, these were, family members, neighbors, friends, different people who we talked into being in a parade and having them wear the t-shirt. I participated in the Taylorsville Days booth, or the Taylorsville Days event. And so we had a booth and told people they could come get a free t-shirt. And I thought this was a great plan because free t-shirt, you know, now all these people are walking around Taylorsville Days with my t-shirt on. And it was funny because one of my neighbors was like, yeah, I was looking at this lady and she had a tooth missing and she was knocking back her beer and she was, you know, cursing up a storm and she's wearing your t-shirt proudly. And I was like, oh, that's great. You know, that's what happens when you give away free stuff, I guess. But anyway, it was a great opportunity again to build our volunteer base and try to encourage people to come volunteer and to get to know why I was running and who I was. This is my family back in the day. This was almost 8 years ago. We did this whole thing on the website where we would have people hold my sign and we'd get a picture with them. Either I take it with them holding the sign or we'd even just get them just holding the sign. And then on my website, we had it like a slideshow cycle through. So here's all these people holding my sign. Governor Herbert was one. We had, you know, different community leaders and just regular people. And it was a really great way to show that we had a lot of support. This is my favorite one. So I got the endorsement from the UFA union and they invited me to fire school. And so we thought this would be the perfect time to take an endorsement photo because I had literally just helped put out the fire behind us. And so anyway, this is my very favorite endorsement photo that I had. Fundraising. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, but these were some of my fundraisers that I did. Now I have to tell you about this one because it's kind of funny. I was 39 at the time that I ran or that I was in office. And you know, with everything else in your life, you want to stay young, you want to be young. But it's funny because with politics, I felt like people thought I was too young to be in elected office. And I had some people make comments and I looked younger then than I do now. So when I was turning 40, we wanted people to know, I mean, we wanted the money too, but we really wanted people to know I was 40. Like I'm a big girl now, I can run for office. And so we put this fundraiser together that was, you know, bring $40 and celebrate that Amy's turning 40. And we had ice cream in the park. And it's funny because even the Tribune, I was telling one of the Tribune reporters about this and how like my underlying motive was so people would know how old I was. And so anyway, he wrote a little blurb about it because he thought it was kind of funny. But unfortunately, sometimes things don't always go your way. So this was on May 10th. And you would think it would be pretty nice weather in May. We held this at a park. We had Leatherby's come and cater ice cream for people. And it was literally freezing. We had gloves on, you know, so here's people in the park eating their ice cream, like shivering. And so, you know, sometimes things like that happen and you just have to kind of roll with it and be flexible and not be disappointed and just be like, you know, it's okay. But we got lots of pictures of people holding my sign, and it was kind of just a fun way to connect with the community and to earn some money. I raised some money during the event, and it was great. I did a golf tournament and raised some good money that way. This is kind of funny. So I got Health Center Theater to donate some like 20 tickets and then also a room. So we had a little dinner that people could come to, or they could pay extra and get a ticket to see their Mary Poppins show. But I have to tell you the backstory on this, because the campaigns are just scrappy. Like, you are just rolling with it. Things aren't perfect. It's not like in a business, like you can put together this perfect business plan, everything. Like, you feel like you're in a startup and you're just kind of scrappy about how you're going about it. And sometimes you're not fully staffed and you're just making it work. So this is kind of funny. So this picture, I was at lunch at a restaurant called La Puente on 33rd and State. And I was with my brother and a few other members of my campaign team, and we were brainstorming, like, what are we going to do for this fundraiser and things like that. Well, we knew that this was coming up, and we were talking about the invitations, and they had this backdrop. Like, literally, this is what the wall is painted as at La Puente. And so we're like, oh, we should just take it here. And so we ran out, my brother went and got an umbrella out of his car. And this is what I was wearing. And it was raining that day. So like, you can see my hair's like super flat and stuff. But we just like moved furniture. We asked the La Puente staff if we could use their wall. And so next thing you know, we're moving the furniture back and they're taking pictures of me standing with this umbrella in front of this painted wall. But it turned out to be a pretty cute invitation for our fundraiser. I had another fundraiser where I was lucky enough to have the governor attend, and Lakai donated the dinner. And we also had Senate President Niederhauser, one of the local mayor, a couple of the local mayors who were supportive. I know I kind of look like an alien in this. I'm like, I really need to go in and doctor up my red eyes there. But anyway, it was kind of a cool event. We charged like $500 a plate. And you get with fundraisers where right before the event happens, you assess like what your spacing capacity is and how many people you've had actually commit and donate. And then you start realizing, okay, we're going to do two seats for 500, right? Because you just want to look full. You want to have it look like it's successful. And so again, you're being flexible. You're trying to just make it work. And so that's kind of how this turned out, but it was a great, great event. We made some good money on that fundraiser. This was my advertisement in the local newspaper. So the City Journals, we bought an advertisement space. And so this was it. You know, a lot of times people will do ads and they will just have it so cluttered with so many words and try to, you know, put their whole platform on, and then nobody sees it, right? And so you have to know your mediums. For print advertising, something simple, having just, you know, just a little bit of information, letting them connect to your logo with the signs they're seeing around, and giving them a little bit of information about you is about all you can really do if you want to get their, be able to attract their attention. This was my campaign staff, and they were one of them was my data person, and I paid her, and the other two were volunteers, and I didn't pay them anything because we were trying to save every penny. And we would every Thursday go to my house, and we'd have what we called politics and peanut butter. And I would make them peanut butter sandwiches, and we'd have winter milk. And that was like our lunch, and it wasn't fancy. And I was too cheap to like take them to a restaurant every week. And we just did it, you know, in my kitchen. And so anyway, this was our crew. This was my door hanger. And I have a little funny story about this that I want to share. First of all, one of the things that's hard about running for office is when you see your opponent's sign in somebody's yard that you know, and you're like, what did I do to offend them? Why don't they support me? Which is exactly what happened in this race. So I drove through this neighborhood, and here is one of my best friends from high school. Her parents have not one, but two signs in their yard for my opponent. And I was like crushed.
Sorry, Amy. Oh, there we go. I couldn't see it, but now I can. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I was crushed because I was like, here are, you know, people that I had sleepovers at their house when I was in high school. Like, why in the world are they not supporting me? And it just bugged me. And so, my husband knew, he's so awesome, but he knew it bugged me. And so that next Saturday, he was like, get in the car. We're going to go knock doors in that neighborhood and we're going to place 10 signs. Like, let's go. And so he drove me around the neighborhood. We got 10 signs. Like, I mean, as you drive in the neighborhood to their house, like I made sure that I had signs just to make myself feel better mostly. But anyway, when I was knocking doors, I pushed the doorbell on this one door and I broke it. Like it cracked. It was just a plastic doorbell and it cracked. And so I put on my door hanger, this little post-it, it says, I'm sorry I missed you. Hey, I'm not sure if I have really powerful thumbs or what, but when I pushed your doorbell, I cracked it. Call me so I can figure out how to replace it for you. I'm so sorry. And I signed my name. I didn't ever hear from them and just went about, you know, my door knocking and everything else. But then on Twitter, one of a more popular tweeter put out this tweet, and my brother-in-law is like, Amy, like there's people talking about you on Twitter. He says, this is the best political message. This is the best message I've ever seen a political candidate give on the campaign trail. Two powerful thumbs up. And it was the person who I had left this note had taken a picture and it had gotten out. And so people started commenting, but then it was kind of fun to read the comments. So here were some of the comments. Somebody said, what if this is her campaign shtick, breaking people's doorbells and fixing them for good karma? Ingenious. Somebody else said, probably not a good idea to ever challenge her to thumb wrestling. Another one said, your candidate for the digital age. Get it? Digits, you know? Okay. The next one said, breaking doorbells, not the county budget. And then somebody put, Amy Winder Newton, bold voice, fresh ideas, powerful thumbs. So anyway, it was kind of fun. And I have to tell you how this ended. So like, I never heard from these people. And when I ran for reelection 4 years later, I was at an event and this couple came up to me and they said, hi, Amy. Hey, you don't know us, but a few years ago, you came to our house and you broke our doorbell. And I was like, yes, I totally know you. And they said, we just want you to know that you will always have our support for any office you ever run for, because you were honest about this. And we really appreciated it. And so anyway, it like almost made me cry. I was so happy to meet him. And I took a picture with him because it was kind of fun to get to meet whose doorbell I actually broke. Sometimes you have things that you don't love that happen on the campaign trail. So I'm going to show you some of my favorite vandalized campaign posters, because I did some 4x8 signs, which those are super hard to place because they're so large, but I did a bunch of 2x4s and those are my favorite. And I had my face on some of them. And so anyway, this was one of my favorites. And then this is kind of funny. This is along State Street and my sister-in-law was so cute. You know, we get thicker skin, right? As we run for office, and you really do. I mean, like my neighbors right now will like start to cry when they say, how do you deal with all the social media stuff people say? And I'm like, yeah, whatever. It doesn't even bug me now, but it was cute. My sister-in-law called me during the campaign and she said, Amy, she was like scared to tell me. She goes, I don't know how to tell you this, but, somebody has drawn a black tooth on your sign over on State Street. And I'm so sorry. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. You know, we'll go look at it. And I actually thought it was so funny. And so I took a picture because it's right next to the liquor store. And so anyway, it was funny. So we actually left it because we left it for a little bit until one of my volunteers could go over and he just took white out because these signs are expensive. Like I'm not going to just waste a sign. So he took white out and like whited in my tooth again so that it looked normal. It kind of looks like they made better eyelashes for me too on this now that I'm looking at it, which I actually quite like it. So this one my kids did. I added this in to be fun. They were mowing the lawn and some of my signs were sitting on the ground. And so they made me a little chia head with the lawn trimmings. You also get sometimes not very nice things that people say. So this was something somebody sent to me an email. They didn't even spell my name right. I think I'm more offended by that than I am that they were so rude about me. But anyway, well, Amy, that was an asinine letter to the editor in yesterday's Tribune. What a foolish, ignorant woman you are. And I could give a whole other speech on my race for governor and some of the comments that I got, you know, people texting and saying, women shouldn't be in government or law, or you need to be home cooking and cleaning and doing laundry. And I replied and I said, oh, I do that too. So anyway, it's just interesting what you get. But you know what? You do get thicker skin. And I know sometimes that scares people out of running. I think, you know what? Embrace it, because people are just mean. And I always try to look at it empathetically, like, oh, that, what did they have in their childhood that was so awful that makes them have to lash out like this? Like, it's kind of sad. But if you can look at it that way, sometimes that helps you just kind of brush it off. Then you also have fun things that happen. Like, this was a random person. I didn't coordinate this or anything, but this showed up in the Tribune, this really nice letter about how, you know, he's supporting me for county council. And I think he's an active Democrat. And he talks about the things that I've done. And anyway, it was so awesome. So you have little things like that that happen too. One of the things that I did in this race really well is I targeted my mail pieces. So I told you I have 4 cities that I represent. I did a different mail piece for every city, and I had people from that city on each one that I could use as endorsements. And so I feel like for first-time candidates, especially, endorsements are really big. For me now, like, I probably won't, because endorsements are sometimes a double-edged sword. So not as important for later races, but your first time running, I think they're really helpful. So this mailer I heard, made my opponent really mad, because he was the mayor of Murray. And I've got in here the former mayor, Murray mayor before him, a city councilman from Murray, the guy I was replacing, who was the county councilman before me, and then another former city council woman. So he was pretty ticked when he got this and saw that they were endorsing me, but I thought it was awesome. So Amy, yeah.
Sorry, the slide is delayed again. Maybe just push forward, because I want to see this.
Okay.
There we go. Yep.
Is it there? That's so weird.
Now I'm on Amy as the candidate. Is that the one you see?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The Murray one. Yeah. So anyway, so these are current and former elected officials in Murray, and he was not very happy about this, but it was great because it showed Murray residents that, oh yeah, I know this guy was your former mayor, but here's who your current leadership and former leadership is supporting. And it was awesome. So I did a postcard for Murray, and then Taylorsville. Can you see that one? Did my slide switch? Okay. This is the best. This was my favorite, because these were all the Murray or all the Taylorsville mayors, except one who lives in St. George, since Taylorsville became a city. And some of these people don't like each other. Like, some of them beat each other and stuff. And some we had to put on, you know, kind of not have them stand next to each other. But anyway, it was awesome because they were all willing to endorse me and support me. And I was really, really happy about that. So that was our postcard to Taylorsville residents. And then West Jordan, did that go through?
That delayed again.
Okay, hang on.
There we go.
Oh. Okay. So West Jordan, that was the current and former mayors of West Jordan. And then West Valley, we did kind of a similar thing with different elected officials as well. So anyway, but I had different mail drops for my postcards. It was back in the day before everybody got a vote by mail ballot. And you had some that did vote by mail, some that did early voting, and then some that did day of voting. And so I timed my postcards to hit based on when they voted, the people voted. And I ended up doing 30, when I did all of my postcards, I think I did like 4. I ended up with like 31 different mail drops at different times, because I was trying to do population based and timing of when they were going to vote depending on the issue. So, all right. This is a picture of me knocking doors in the rain. So sometimes
push it again. There we go. Oh, there's okay. The rain.
Okay. I'm just going to do that on all of them just to be safe. So anyway, this was sometimes you, when you're knocking doors, it pours rain. And I'll tell you, people are more likely to be nice to you at their door when it's raining outside because they feel bad for you. So look at it as a positive. Here's a honk and wave that we did before election day. And then this is on election night. So this was a picture that was in the Deseret News once I won and we were looking at the returns as they came in. So anyway, so that's kind of my campaign in a nutshell, my very first one. I've run for re-election once and then I also ran for governor and I have to run for re-election to the county council again next year. So if anybody wants to help with the campaign, call me if you're not doing your own. Okay, so now we're gonna talk about this first seven things you need to do after deciding to run for office. First of all, make sure your family's on board and that you've assessed impact. The second, get a good headshot. And you know, nowadays it's nice because we have great cameras and you can get good people that take one. But sometimes people would like take one, just have it look professional. You can get away with doing portrait mode on an iPhone or whatever, but it just needs to look professional. This is your image. That headshot, that tells people so much about you. And if it doesn't look professional and it's a blurry image or crooked or whatever, like it just doesn't look like you're a serious candidate. So the headshot's really important. I always tell candidates that when you decide you want to run, write a one pager about why you're running. It does two things. Number one, it helps me as a campaign manager know if I want to work for you, because if your whole thing is, yeah, I just was bored, or you know, I need something else for my resume or whatever, like that's not a good reason, in my opinion, to help a candidate. But when you can talk about specific things that you want to help in your community and how you're going to benefit your community and how it's about other people, that's meaningful. And it gives us a good starting point to draw from your elevator speech and your talking points for brochures and stuff later. So a good one pager about why you're running is really helpful. You have to go through the process of setting up a bank account and separating keeping your funds separate. Depending on the type of race you run for, that may vary. I'm a big proponent in getting a Venmo set up to take donations, because then people will do it right then. It's easy. The easier you can make it for people to donate, the more likely you are to get donations. And then a credit card process. And you're going to pay a little bit of a credit card processing fee. But if on your website or you have somewhere you can send people if they want to pay by credit card, that's really, really important. You also need to be able to identify filing dates and other important dates so that you know kind of where you're headed, and start working on a logo. Now, campaign logos are different than business logos because you're not looking for the best designed standards. You're kind of looking for what can people see when they're driving 40 miles per hour in 3 seconds. And so you want to have your name big and bold. You want to make sure that however your name is listed on the ballot is what you have on your signs and all your material. You want to make sure that it's readable and that people can see it, and then recognize that there's other messages that you're sending with what your logo and brand looks like. So taking those into account, colors and different things. For signs, it's cheaper if you do, you know, one or two colors instead of six. Like my signs with my picture are a lot more expensive than just my regular logoed signs. If you use two color, like you could do two colors, and white doesn't count as a color. So really you get three if you're using white, but that saves you money. You want to start identifying key issues for your constituents so that you understand, and you can do this. I mean, if you can't afford a poll or something like that, just go and talk to people, go stand outside the grocery store, the library, and talk to people. Get outside your own echo chamber to really understand those issues. Okay, here's the next seven things. We could do lots of slides of seven things that you need to do to get you all the way through election day, but I'm just going to get you started here. Getting a good website, and you can use Weebly or Webador. They're pretty reasonably priced. They're easy to build, and you can do it yourself or get somebody that can do it for you. Sending a letter to family and friends and asking for money is really important. And then you have to follow up with a phone call. I pretty much can guarantee you that if you get a letter or an email asking for money, most people don't really do much with that unless they are your mom or your brother or something. And then they may help, but you really have to be able to give that direct ask. And when you call somebody and you say, you know what, I'm running for this and I, you know, here's why, can you send me $100? Ask on the high end and then they'll come down to where they're comfortable. It is, fundraising is hard. It is the hardest part of running, but you have to do it. And you know what? You'll get used to it. Just keep making those calls and asking people for money. And the best people to ask are truly your friends and family and people who know you. The next thing is you want to get your elevator speeches nailed down. So I try to do like have a 10 second speech. So if somebody says to you, oh, you're running, why are you running? You in 10 seconds can say, well, I want to do this, this, and this, and this, and you have like a short one. So if you're just in casual conversation, you know what those key pieces are that you want to hit on. Then get a 30 second speech put together so that there's different times when maybe that's more appropriate. And then get a 2 minute or 5 minute speech so that you've got it ready to go if you're asked to stand up and impromptu talk about why you're running. You also will want to get your campaign calendar together. That includes your mail pieces on design, like when you want to have your deadline for your design or your content, your design, and have it to the mailhouse so that you know when it's going to hit. Walks and calls and when you want to time those and fundraisers and anything else that you're going to be doing. You want to get a budget together for your signs, mailers, digital billboards, your staff, et cetera. Let's be honest, most of us are running our own campaigns. Like we're lucky if we have a few volunteers that'll step in and help here and there, but I get it. Like that's how my campaigns have been, is most of it I've done myself, and it's sometimes overwhelming. If you can fundraise to a point where you can hire somebody to manage it for you, it's way, way better, but that's not always feasible. Get a voter list from the clerk's office so you can start identifying those most likely to vote. And then obtain key endorsements. Figure out who those community leaders are in your district and start getting to know them and asking them for endorsements. All right, here's some other items to just have on the forefront of your mind. You also need to take care of other collateral materials like signs, t-shirts, brochures, and door hangers. I like when I do brochures, I'll sometimes do them so I can mail them as well as just hand them out, and they're the right size to do that. Keep fundraising. You're going to do that through the whole campaign. Host events to meet with constituents. So I've done some sometimes at my house. You can do them at the library. There's different places. I mean, Fizz or some of those places have little areas and they'll let you have a little cottage meeting there. Also looking at your door knocking and phone calling strategy. There's pros and cons with door knocking. I personally, sometimes with some campaigns, I think phone calling is better these days because sometimes people don't want somebody on their porch, but I think it's always good to be able to say you're out door knocking and do some of that. So you have pictures to post on social media and you've got people who can go with you and you can maybe hit a neighborhood that's one of your persuadable neighborhoods. Digital strategy, that's so important nowadays. Social media posts and boosts and how to do that, how to create a social media audience. And I mean, I'm even going to need to get help with this next year because it's changed so much since I did it last. Digital ad buys and how to assess good value there. You might have to get some people to help you with that if you're not as familiar with it.
Amy, do you have a slide for this stuff you're saying now?
Oh, dang it. I don't know what's happening. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Okay. Let's see. Then putting together your organizational structure, who's going to help you with volunteers, finance, design pieces, putting up signs. There's different things. Being able to utilize volunteers is kind of a skill because you'll get people to say, I want to help you. But then you have to weigh the time that they have to help and the things you need done and figure out the best way to use them. And then lots of chocolate. I feel like that's something you really need for a campaign, lots and lots of chocolate. So I'm happy to take questions if people have questions. I know that was kind of a lot of information, but happy to answer questions.
Well, wow. I think all of our heads are just so happy and swimming with all this really key detail. I just love how you got into the nuts and bolts, Amy. I have some questions, but I would love to obviously hear from other people first. If you want to raise your hand or put something in the chat.
Aileen just said on the chat that the elections office has removed phone numbers from voter lists. And a lot of our voters aren't on our voter list, even though they have voted. So what you might need to do in that case is hire a data person who's got those phone numbers. That's like the best way to get them. As far as voters that aren't on your voter list, that's weird. That's a county clerk question. So I would call the county clerk's office on that.
You talked about setting a budget, which obviously that is very important. How hard was it for you? What was your mindset in, like, did you say at the very first, this is how much I'm going to contribute of my own money and I'm not going to go over, like, is it so tempting when you're out of money? How did you approach your own finances in doing a campaign and budgeting?
Yeah. So my goal was always to not use my own money. I mean, I feel like, and some people are like, oh, you should have to contribute some. And I'm like, yeah, I'm contributing my entire life. Thank you very much. Like, we're sacrificing a ton of time as a family. You know, I could be out making money somewhere else. And so I don't feel like a candidate has to contribute their own money to show that they have skin in the game, because for crying out loud, all the time you're putting into it is skin in the game. What I would do, this is why I think fundraising, if you can do this, starting fundraising before you even get into the logistics of your campaign, I think is really helpful. And that's easier for an incumbent than it is for a brand new candidate. But still, if you can get some money in the bank and start kind of assessing like where you think you're going to need to be, if you're running for like a city council race, you can talk to other city council members who have run to get an idea. How many signs did you feel like you needed? Or, you know, what did you feel like was helpful to kind of get an idea? So what I did with mine is I figured out, here's my ideal. I would like this many signs. And I kind of put my budget on paper of what my ideal was. And you can then say you're going to fundraise to it and you're going to cover whatever the shortfall is. I don't recommend that. I would just figure out, if we only have this much money by this date, here's how many signs we're going to buy initially. And then as you fundraise more, you can get more. But man, the sooner you can fundraise, the better, because then you can really put together a good budget.
Can I make a comment on fundraising?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you really have to have two different kind of fundraising techniques, because, you know, one of your pool of people that you want to fundraise to are, you know, people that are extraordinarily wealthy. The other type of people are people that can maybe afford to give you $20. They're both really, really important. And it's kind of a different technique in fundraising to both of those groups. You know, you can Google and read about Barack Obama and how he really utilized people that would donate to him $20 at a time. I mean, he was kind of the first person that really used on a big, big level that used the internet to kind of tap into, you know, hundreds of thousands of people each donating $20 to $25. And you can do that on a local level. I mean, on a much smaller scale. But, you know, they're looking for something different than maybe someone that could afford to donate $5,000 or something like that. Those type of people kind of expect to have a seat at the table when they donate. And so, you know, I'm just saying your strategies have got to be, you know, you need to have more than one strategy for fundraising. And I think that, like, I'm always telling, you know, our campaign team, when I work on a congressional campaign, that, you know, we've got to pay attention to the people that can afford to donate, you know, between $20 and $50 and somehow tap into, you know, letting them know why that's important and what they're paying for when they make that small donation.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I will say too, the other thing, make sure you follow up every donation with a thank you note. I am big on this. I would send thank you letters even if somebody gave me $3 when I ran for governor, and I would sign them all. Like some of them we just print out and I just sign, and I'd still write on the side, thank you so much, so-and-so. For my county council, I handwrite a thank you note every single time. And I just feel like if people know that you value that, they will potentially give more. And in other races, they're willing to give. So being grateful too for what you get is really important. The other thing too, Jennifer, you asked about personal funds. And I will say, I forgot to add one more thing. So for my governor's race, I did loan my campaign a bunch of money. It was our savings. We were saving up to pay off our house. And my husband, bless his heart, is awesome. And I was like, can we loan this to the campaign? Because I needed to show in my financial disclosures, like I wanted to have that momentum. And I told my campaign team, we are not spending a dime of this. We will not. So it just sat there on my financial disclosures. That strategy can help sometimes. I feel like with bigger races, it's more helpful than some of the more local races, but you can loan yourself money. And then if you start getting enough that it covers it, but I would say this, don't spend it unless you're okay to lose it. If you really aren't, you really don't want to tap into it. Like you can have it there for show, but don't let your team spend it. But it is helpful sometimes to be able to loan yourself money and then pay yourself back once you have more donations come in.
Okay, that makes sense. That's smart. I want to ask this question that's in the chat. When someone says they would like to volunteer, what kind of tasks do you assign them? Especially you said, I mean, you were your own campaign manager. You didn't have a volunteer coordinator. So how did you approach volunteers?
So I made sure on my phone, I had like a notes file or something that said volunteers, so that when I was talking to people, if they were like, oh, I'd love to help on your campaign, I would hurry and put their name in and their phone number. And then when I needed stuff, like I remember my first campaign, I needed somebody to just go deliver signs to people when they said they wanted a sign. And so I had this older couple who had asked to help. And I was like, hey, would you be willing to deliver signs for me? And they were thrilled. I had other people who I said, would you be willing to help make phone calls? And we put them to work doing that. Signs are a really helpful place. I know I can tell you my brother who's in the legislature, what he does for signs is he will get sign captains. He'll get like 30 sign captains and he'll say, you know, you have this many signs to put out, and he'll tell them, I'll give you a $75 gift card or $50 gift card once you put them out, and $50 when you bring them back after you take them down after the race. And so he'll pay him. And we always joke that the best kind of volunteer is a paid volunteer, because you do, I mean, like I've hired people to put my signs out, because there's some strategy to it, right? Like being able to see a good sign location and go and be willing to knock on the door and ask them if you can put it there. And like signs are kind of a strategic thing that you'll learn, and you'll start as a candidate, like, you know, the good sign placement, because you'll just start paying attention and you'll see it. So my husband did a lot of my signs. My dad, I won one of my races. I just had him do them all, and I paid him for it, for his gas and time. But yeah, that's finding places for them is hard. If you have somebody who's really good with graphic design, you can totally have them help design your mail pieces or brochures. Having them help, like one thing I want to do next year for my race, I feel like we have a lack of campaign talent in Utah. So I want to use my race as a place to mentor up and comers who are interested in campaign management and have them like at the decision-making table and mentor them through it, which I'm a little bit overwhelmed by, because I'm like, this is going to create like way more work for me than just running my own race. So I'm hoping that I can get somebody to act as campaign manager as well. And I'm going to pay him something, but, that's tricky sometimes figuring out, or asking them, what would you be interested in doing? We have people who are leaving door hangers or making phone calls or putting out signs. Are there any of those things that you're interested in, and kind of assessing that so you know where to put them to work?
Awesome. Someone else asked, you mentioned on one of your slides, you did pay a data person. What did they do, if you don't mind sharing that?
So what they did is they got to the list. Now, keep in mind, this is back in the day when not everybody got a ballot in the mail. And so they knew who was most likely to vote. And so they could give me the list of here's who's most likely to vote. These are strong Republicans. These are strong Democrats. Leave these guys alone. We're going after the people in the middle who are persuadables. And so she helped me identify who my persuadables were, that we were focusing all our door knocking, all our mailers, and all of our phone calling on. And so, and then from that, she also could help me figure out who was most likely to vote, because not everybody's voting every time. And so, you know, they could use the previous voting records to see who was really most likely to vote. So that's what I used her for. And then when we needed walking lists or things like that, she developed those for us too. Nowadays you have apps and there's other things that we can use. And so you use everything that you can there.
Are you okay for one or two more? Are you?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Hurting?
I recently read this book about how difficult it is for women to leverage relationships that they've formed. And you talked about how important it is to obtaining key endorsements. How did you approach that? I mean, I liked what you said, how you said when you were fundraising, how about $100? And then they'd give what they're comfortable with. Did you cast your net wide on endorsements, or were you very specific and just went out and asked them directly?
There's two different ways I've done endorsements before. One is to just be strategic so that you get certain leaders and then you use those on mail pieces or social media. The other way that I've done and I've seen done before is you just get anybody, like I did this on my very first campaign and I listed them on my website. Like anybody who said that they would endorse me that lived in my district, I listed their name. And so I had long lists, and then, you know, people like to go through and see who they know and stuff like that. It's time consuming. But when you're a first-time candidate, I feel like that's helpful because you're developing credibility. As far as the other endorsements, I mean, I had helped on the Taylorsville elected officials. I ran half of their campaigns. So like they knew me well, I worked for the city before I ran, you know, like that wasn't hard to ask for that. But I also found like key reasons why they should endorse me. So, for instance, I was the first Taylorsville resident to ever serve on the county council. And so when I went to my Taylorsville people, I told them that, hey, for the first time, Taylorsville will have somebody on the county council who lives in this city. For West Valley and Taylorsville and West Jordan, I leveraged my West Side ties. Hey, right now of the 9 council members, only one lives on the, or two live on the West Side. I would be the third. You know, we need to support the West Side. And I even did a mailer targeted to the West Side based on that and my roots and experience there and why that was important. So being able to give people a reason why, that was important, I think, as you ask for endorsements.
Okay, that's helpful. That's really great. Our time is done. I just am so impressed, Amy, with this, because sometimes I get discouraged because I feel like women talk a big talk about supporting other women and then you don't see it in action. But you willing to share, I mean, these are secrets and tips that you could just keep close to your vest for your own future campaigns, and you've been willing to share them all in such detail with us today. I'm truly grateful to you, and I want to applaud you for the things you do. We're getting a lot of great comments in the chat of how much people appreciate this today, and I know it is being recorded and other people will see it. So I hope you know how valuable this has been, not just for Project Elect, but for all of the individuals that are going to benefit from your humility of sharing your successes, but also your blacked out teeth. That is not fun for any of us. And I love your sense of humor, Amy. And I just want to say thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me, and best of luck to all of you women who are running and those of you thinking of running. It's awesome. You guys, honestly, so many great learning experiences when you can run for office and when you're involved. It's awesome.